Every once in a while, God gives you the opportunity to run into a man, in this case, that it's like, wow, this is awesome. This is the best of everything. And I met him. We had some light greetings before we went to Israel. And we go to Israel, and I forge this relationship with this guy. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is like a redeemed hippie. I mean, this is great. With great intellect. And that's, I don't know how else to describe George Koch. I don't hope he's not offended by it, but he's a great man. He's the pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago. He's got a solid Anglican background, and he is a biblicist through and through. Let me bring him in here. We have him in every week at this time. George Koch, good to have you with me today.
Carl Claussen, good to be on the program again.
I'm sorry for the... I hope that hippie thing doesn't wig you out. Is that endearing?
Like
or
that.
Okay,
that's all right. Redeemed hippie. I think I might get a button that says that or a bumper sticker.
That would really be good. I'm going to jump on this. I am so excited about what you've done. We are working through his book, by the way, What We Believe and Why. Get a copy. Work through it with us. Go to KC180.com, hit the resources tab, and it'll have a link there with he's a guest here every week, and his name's Dr. George Koch. It'll have a link there on how to get this wonderful book, What We Believe and Why. In fact, you can go to whatwebelieveandwhy.org. Isn't that right, George?
Well, it's .com.
.com. Yeah, so let's make sure we don't get the wrong directions here. whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Insightful, accessible, plain spoken, and a little feisty, and boy is it. All right, we're talking salvation. We had a great discussion last week. This week, I feel like this is like the coup. I mean, this is a major takeover of a text that has been, quite frankly, used in applied less than the best. That's the way I'm going to put it. George, I want you to take our listener through the context, and I've said this a lot on 180. Any text out of context is pretext. So we've got to have good context. Explain to our listeners why that's so important for John 3:16.
Well, of course, that's the sign that you see in baseball stadiums and football stadiums, John 3:16, and it's a wonderful sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Of all the scripture verses, I think that's probably the most memorized. But it's very seldom actually read in context, and the context itself is quite extraordinary. It doesn't make the sentence by itself less true, but it really illuminates the circumstances in which that was said. And we don't know whether that was said by Jesus himself or by John in writing this story, but it's about an encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, when Nicodemus sneaks out at night, apparently, and comes to see Jesus to find out what Jesus is about and acknowledges that Jesus has come from God and really wants Jesus to tell him what this life is about and how he should believe. And Jesus just upends Nicodemus's worldview.
Yeah, he upends it with a story that Nicodemus would have heard from a little boy, correct?
Right, absolutely
okay.
Right.
So he had this story in his brain that was pulled from Moses wandering in the desert. Give the story, because here's what I want to up the stakes. I think that what you're about to hear, our listener, I want you to get this. What you're about to hear from George is a masterful job of getting the context of a passage and then bringing the direct passage, John 3:16, in the sense, and not just giving it a different angle. I mean, elevating it and giving it life like, frankly, you're going to love. Give it to him, George.
Sure. Well, the story is from Numbers 21, and it's when the Jews wandering in the wilderness with Moses, they've been rescued from Egypt, they've been cared for and fed day by day by God, and they're all grousing about the food. The food's not good enough for them. And so God, to rebuke them, sends poisonous snakes among them, and this gets their attention. The goodness of God doesn't seem to have gotten their attention, but the poisonous snakes do. And so Moses asks how these people who are being poisoned are to be saved from poisonous snakes. And God says, make a bronze snake, an image of what is afflicting them, put it on a pole and raise it up above them. And anyone who's been bitten by a poisonous snake and looks up at the pole to that bronze snake will be saved.
And it's an amazing story. When you write in your book What We Believe and Why, you go, it's a little bit out of left field. It feels a little bit odd, but you're saying you believe historically, culturally, number one, Nicodemus would have gotten it. Number two, God will use tough things to get people's attention if he loves them that much.
Right. And there's a third scriptural principle here, too, and that is that when we encounter something in Scripture, and there are plenty of places where something is very odd and we'd like it simpler or it's offensive to us, our first natural tendency is to either not pay much attention to it or, especially if it offends us, to skip over it.
Right.
And that's exactly the wrong thing to do. The right thing to do when it offends you or when you find it just really peculiar is it's a red flag that means there's something really important here that you haven't understood yet. Dive deeper.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you are a listener. I want you to get this because George writes, I want you to get this. George knows what he wrote, but I'm going to give you this. He says, normally this is explained, John 3:16 and all the verses that follow. John 3:17, by the way, is powerful, maybe more powerful. He says, normally this is explained something like this. If you believe in Jesus, you get saved. If you don't believe, you don't get saved. It sounds like you're a failure to believe buys you a death sentence. When we look at this snake metaphor and looking up at this, and then it's compared to what Jesus came to do, pour out your heart, George, for my listeners. Your perspective, give it to them from your words.
Sure. Jesus said, and what Scripture says, is that he came into the world not to judge it, but to save it. And we have to look at the mission of Jesus as a rescue mission. It's not, here's the test, try to pass, or try, you know, you're going to pass or fail the test, but rather this is a rescue mission. That's why he's here, is to rescue. And probably a better analogy or a better metaphor, a way to think about this, is what happens to people who are drowning. Well, if there's no rescuer, they're going to drown, and that's our condition right now. Without a rescuer, we're drowning. It's too bad, it's over, we're done with. But when a rescuer comes, those who see the light, they're drowning and they see a light, they naturally swim toward the light because they know that that is their salvation. That is the way they are not going to drown. So what Scripture teaches is that those who see the light and move toward it are saved. But there are also those who have used the darkness to disguise their evil deeds, to disguise the way that they have harmed and taken advantage of other people. And the truth is, when they see the light, they head the other direction. So it isn't that you've made the wrong decision, but rather that those who don't desire to be saved, they're going to flee from the light. They're not going to move toward it.
Beautiful. Wonderful. His name's George Koch. The name of the book that we're walking through every week at this time is What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy, follow along with us at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Look, I've been to Bible school and seminary. This is compelling, clear, and it's just edgy. It's just wonderful work. Okay, here's what's beautiful. I've been noodling on something in my brain, George, and this is just proof positive that I need to go here with this. I have this concept that I find over and over in Scripture where Jesus says this thing is that you've got to die. You've got to come to this point where you see how empty you really are. What you're saying is that really this isn't an intellectual transaction, salvation. This is a crying out of people who realize their brokenness before God and are humble enough to look up at Jesus and say, save me.
Absolutely right. I almost drowned in the Pacific Ocean one time. I was carried out by a riptide. I'm a very poor swimmer as it is. And I finally realized that my greatest effort was not going to save me. And I called out to my friend who was on the beach, who was a very strong swimmer. And as soon as he realized I wasn't joking, I was really drowning, he dove in, swam out, dragged me up onto the shore, and saved my life. I could not have saved myself. When I realized I was drowning, I called for help, and help came.
And so this word belief, this is interesting, because this word belief, this isn't some intellectual assent. This is the Greek word here, if I'm not mistaken, is a word that indicates I surrender. This is a belief unto selling out. It's akin to going all in with poker chips. Am I wrong?
Right. It means trust. It doesn't mean intellectual acknowledgement. It means trust, the way you trust your dad to save you when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Well, this has been a beautiful thing, George. And this is what I love about walking through your work, is because you're big into context, and I am huge into that. Ever since I took a course from Kermit Eckelbarger called Biblical Hermeneutics at Denver Seminary, it's changed me. And I want you, our listener, to get this. The reason I've got George on here is that he thinks really well. And he thinks biblically, and he thinks contextually, he thinks historically, culturally, and he's one of the very best at stripping away his own predispositions and what he was raised in. That's what makes it so compelling. George Koch, everyone. George, thanks for being with me again.
Carl, it's a joy once again.
Thank you. Up next, leadership crisis or spiritual crisis? I got something for you out of 1 Samuel 8 that might blow your mind. I'm going to bring Jasper Lukos in as well. 180 with Carl Claussen, your life a new direction.